It's time for our usual start of the programme and the local newspaper review with Ken Kilbride. Ken, how are you?
I'm great, sir, and yourself?
Very good. Lots of stuff happening locally and some interesting stories in the newspapers this week locally. But I have to ask you the question that's on the first heading. Did you ever meet anybody under Cleary's clock?
Oh, absolutely. And I thought that I was looking at that and thought that was a really, really lovely story and it's a great idea. And what they're doing is, you know, Cleary's clock was now going to be subject to a new documentary, or subject of a new documentary. And the producers want to hear, you know, people's stories about this iconic landmark. The people doing the programme are the production company behind Older Than Ireland, which was produced last year. So what they did last year is they took people, 30 people over the age of 100. You know, when did you buy your first pair of shoes? When did you get married? What happened? Did you have children? And, you know, got a broad span of, you know,
what it was a great programme.
Great piece of programme,
yeah.
So another, I thought it was a really, really great idea. So what they're going to do is they're looking at, you know, Cleary's clock, which, as I say, has been used as a rendezvous for first dates, nights on the town, people coming up from the country. So again, they're looking for people to say, you know, tell us your stories. Now, they're not just looking particularly for romantic stories. You know, they're looking for the good stuff, the bad stuff, the heartbreak. So, you know, it's, what they're saying, it's been there since 1920. It's been replaced only three times. It's kind of a little bit sad. You know, the clock's changed this year. Nobody changed it, so it's showing the wrong time, which is absolutely
is
terrible.
Is it still at the wrong time?
It's still at the wrong time, I believe, you know.
Okay. You think somebody would go in and fix that?
Someone would go in and change the time.
Definitely.
I have to say, you know, just for, you know, personally, you know, yes, I've met people at the Cleary's clock. You know, I can remember, you know, mid-80s when I would have been going out with girls. You know, it was a place to meet. You know, Friday night, 8 o'clock, there was a million girls there. You know, mine was always easy to find because she was the best looking girl there.
Of course, yourself, Declan. Of course, absolutely. Of course. It's a pre sort of Snapchat and text and
the Tinder and all that sort of stuff, isn't it?
And I mean, when you made the arrangement maybe during the week on the Wednesday or the Thursday night, you had no contact.
Until you got there, there was no mobile phone. You phoned her Thursday night, I'll meet you on Saturday, and that was it.
Yeah, and in fact, you were lucky if you had a phone in the house probably as well. But it's a good story, a good topic for a story, and I'm sure that many will come out of it. I mean, you mentioned there that they're not just looking for romantic experiences, but other
poignant,
stuff as well.
Funny or interesting. So, I mean, they're looking for a large cross-section of, you know, information and views. So, basically, I mean, the production team is called Snapbox. And if you want to get in contact with them, you can email them at theclock@snackboxfilms.com or you can give them a call on 4100 500.
Very good. Okay, well, we look forward to seeing that. They don't say when it's going to hit the air, do they?
No, they don't, no.
Probably later in the year, but we'll watch out for that.
Indeed, it should be great to see.
Why don't you take part yourself if you have some stories to tell, Ken?
I'm not sure I have an interesting story to tell, but I have lots of stories to tell.
Let them be the judge of whether it's interesting or not. Okay, there's a Northside funny man who is making his name in none other than NYC.
Again, I'm just having a look at a, you know, a bit behind the story. Colm is from Beaumont, so anybody's from Beaumont has to be brilliant. So Colm has been doing, you know, stand-up for the last few years. He's a young guy. He looks under 25 on the videos. So he's been in Ireland. You know, he's been working hard for a number of years. He's been trying. But again, he was saying, you know, nothing was happening for me over here. I was drinking and partying. Then one day I thought, I can either quit this or I can start working hard. So what basically he's saying is that, you know, New York is the comedy capital of the world. You know, if you can't make it here, you got to make it there. So he hopped on the boat. Slow boats again in New York. headed over to New York. Found some friends, slept on a couch for a while. They actually said, you know, they gave him a blanket. You know, if you've got cold and you're sleeping outside, at least you'll have something. So he said, you know, he's on the trains a couple of occasions, happy for the blanket. So, you know, he's been working hard for a couple of years, gave up the drink. You know, dedicated himself to his craft. And as he says himself, you know, he's gotten better over the years. He now has a couple of residencies in New York and Manhattan's and Queens and places like that. But what's happened is, you know, the TV3 has put together a little documentary on four rising stars in the comedy sector. So basically they're looking at, you know, what's involved in being a comedian and what do you need to do and what's, you know, the life behind it. So they made this really interesting documentary which follows their path as they attempt to establish themselves as comedians and the work you need to put in, both on the stage and off the stage. So basically the first programme in this series went out last week. So if you want to see how Colm got on, turn on to TV3 tonight, 25 past 10.
Yeah, and of course people think that, you know, these guys are just, well, they are talented, but that they're just sort of naturally talented and can just walk into the room,
pop up.
And it all just sort of comes out and it's all very funny. I mean, there is a lot of craft and a lot of training and a lot of preparation and research practice and all of that goes all into to putting it together. So I suppose...
If I repeat the rather famous line from Father Ted, and it is, you know, the colloquial statement, you know, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice.
Okay. Right. Well, somebody else who has been, I suppose, not so much practicing, but practicing what they preach are Northsiders who have been involved in spring cleaning up the north side and indeed right around the country and right around the city over the course of 2016 with the National Spring Clean Initiative.
Indeed, Lady Sarah McGovern and her son Jude have been out there, and what they're doing is they've been organising this for the last 17, 18 years. And basically what they're doing is they're helping people, you know, to get together and help to clean up their neighbourhoods. This initiative has been, I say, has been running, it's in their 18th year now. They started off with, you know, 1,700 events. 155,000 people got involved. They're now up to 5,000 events, which, you know, 520,000 people involved. If you look at 520,000, that's sort of nearly 1 in 10 in the population.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of people out there are doing it. And last year they picked up, you know, not say that Sarah picked up her personally, but around the country, you know, 500 tonnes of waste were estimated to be picked up, with 35% being recycled. So, you know, this is, you know, a great initiative. And, you know, the people from Tashka who are organising it said, you know, we had a great response from people on the north side and we're happy to, and we want to thank them for their participation. Again, what happens this year, because it's been running for all of April, a lot of groups have got involved with Tidy Towns because, you know, there has been a bit of an emphasis and a bit of a push there to get things looking good for the month of April. So, you know, a lot of people out there doing a lot of stuff, doing a lot of good.
Yep.
They're also doing a couple of little things. And just to show you where it goes. So in terms of, you know, collecting this, 1 kilo of recycled paper is enough to run a light bulb for 2 days. Every can that's recycled will run your television for 3 hours.
Every can?
Every can.
Wow.
And again, just little stats, you know, that are coming out of it. They did a survey a couple of years ago. There's 3,000 items of rubbish for every kilometre of road per year.
3,000 items of rubbish appear on the road. Does this actually end up on
per
the road?
Kilometre.
Per kilometre. Wow.
Every year.
Wow, it's incredible. No, it's a great initiative. And if you want more details on that, nationalspringclean.org is where all the detail is. We'll come back maybe, Ken, to some more stories. I know there's one of your favourite stories again. It seems to be in the papers almost every week, if not every second week.
Indeed, yes, the homeless.
And the modular homes, I suppose, as well, in particular.
This is Near FM 90.3.
Ken, we'll come back maybe to the newspaper stories now. I might do the last one we have there first, which is the need for a little bit more convenience out in Malahide.
Indeed, this is a bit of a nice story. We'll do a straight version first.
Yes.
Local councillor Anthony Lavin from Fine Gael has been pushing the council to commit to the opening of a long completed public toilet at Rob Walls Park. For people that don't know, if you drive along the road between Port Marnock and Malahide, you come past Biscayne. It's in at the back. So these toilets have been complete for a long time, have not been used by the public as of yet. Many local residents have approached the councillor to find out what is happening and when will it be opened. The councillor has responded by saying it is acknowledged that there's a need to have the toilets at Rob's Wall at least opened on a seasonal basis. They are currently shut due to staff resources and re-examination is underway. So Councillor Lavin has come back and said hopefully that they'll be open during the summer months. It's something that's badly needed in the area, especially during the summertime, and happy that the council have said that they will re-examine the issue. However, I won't be fully happy till they actually do something about it. So we could do another version of the story.
Okay, I thought you might.
Thought we might. So, local councillor approaches council. Council replies, it's not on the agenda, but it's probably number two. The council and residents get together and said, this is a lose-lose proposition. The council and residents get together. The residents then hold a meeting in the public toilet and said, we are all together. They then decide to open it, big fanfare, to get Alex Ferguson to open it. Why?
Why?
Because just like the Premiership, it's squeaky bum time. So, we're not finished.
Not finished? Okay. We've more to go have we?
We have more to go. So the title we were giving is Need for Public Toilets in Malahide. We probably remember as kids the old joke. Why did Malahide? Because she saw swords kill Esther.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, why did Dolly Mount? Because she saw to get a fair view. But anyway, so revising the headlines, Need for Public Toilets in Malahide. So Need for Public Toilets to open as Malahide hiding in bushes. Need for toilets to open in park as different types of logs found recently. Pressure builds on locals. And my favourite and last one. Need for toilet in park as residents go for morning runs.
This is 90.3 Near FM.
Ken, we'll move on now to that final story. I know it's one of your favourite subjects and topics, that of modular homes and, I suppose, the homeless in general. Problems out in Balbriggan.
In terms of Dublin, Dublin is set up with, you know, councils around the area. So we have Dublin City Council where we are, but in, you know, the north of the county, there's Fingal County Council. And each of the council has a commitment and a responsibility to house peoples within their area. So the idea of, you know, modular housing, or, you know, what they call rapid build housing, has come up. So they have a proposal that they came up with at the end of last year to build 40 modular houses out in Balbriggan. However, it just come out very recently that this controversial proposal, their words, not mine, by the council to develop these 40 modular houses, Pinewood Estate in Balbriggan, has hit a bump in the road. So the proposal, which you say was presented last December, has been deferred to take into consideration more than 700 submissions. Now,
Are we back to the NIMBYism again, are we?
Again, a little bit in terms of open government. This is good because, you know, we've talked about, you know, Fingal County Council in terms of some of the things they've been doing recently, and, you know, like the bus stop in Malahide and, you know, the drainage in Coldrilla. But, you know, there's a site called consultfingal.ie.
Okay.
So if you make a submission, it goes up here.
Okay.
So if you want to see these submissions that people are making, you can go along. So I went along last night, and there's submissions and observations. And you can go through either. And again, they're either marked as residents or associations or whatever. So what they're saying here, you know, one of the local councillors saying, Councillor Tommy Murphy, who's vehemently opposed to this, the most interesting regarding the way people spoke about this motion was that nobody spoke in favour of it. Now, in terms of the submissions and observations that I was able to go through last night, I didn't go through all 700 of them. But okay. I didn't find one of them that was in favour of it.
You did find one that was...
No, I didn't.
You didn't?
Not a single one.
Not one.
Every one of them was people saying, you know, we would prefer not to have it around here.
And, I mean, what is to be done if everybody's for this, if you like, if you ask them, right?
That's the good,
you know, interesting dynamic here. Yes. You know, nobody could be agin it, as they say, because you wouldn't be a good human person to be agin it. But then nobody really wants it beside them.
There's a lot of similarity here. If you take Beaumont, you know, where we were talking about local association there. RTE covered this very intensively during the week on both their news and prime time, where they were looking at the situation in Finglas. You have the same situation here in Balbriggan. All very similar. And what you're saying is, yes, I mean, as we're going, we can quote here from the Resident Association, we're not against homeless people. They need to have a home just like everyone else. But, you know, we're happy to see that our considerations are being taken into, our views have been taken into consideration.
And we do live in a democracy, so everybody's view is equal. You know, that's good. And and the fact that they're up there on that website, consultfingal.ie, everybody can see it.
Yes.
So there's no hiding behind anything either, which is good.
So again, but there's a lot of commonality, you know, in terms of what they're saying. And, you know, the reasons that, you know, they're giving for we don't want to hear is, Balbriggan is saying we've already taken our fair share. The population of Balbriggan has increased hugely over the last 10, 15 years. There's been no increase in services in terms of schools, doctors, etc., so we can't cope. The other argument they make, and we've discussed this before, is it's too expensive.
Yeah.
You know, there is a cost issue there. They are saying that, you know, that they're at the back of this estate in Pinewood, there was a little cul-de-sac and a little right-of-way through to the road. That was closed off because of antisocial behaviour over the last 10 years ago. They say they have a promise from, you know, the county council it wouldn't be opened again. So obviously, to build this modular houses at the back, they need to open that again. So they're worried that, you know,
And just come back to the cost there, yes, as well, which is another area, another angle on this story, another area of this of the modular homes issue that we've talked about before and looked at before. I mean, they're actually saying in this article now that perhaps the building and siting of the modular home is almost twice the cost of a traditional build.
Of a traditional build, yes.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, obviously people are taking the higher top of the figures
and probably the lower on the other ones. Yeah, but still more expensive.
We are looking at, you know, what they're saying is that these houses are going to come in between somewhere between 160 and 250,000. We're guessing about 180 to 200,000 is what they're costing elsewhere in Dublin. So, you know, we can assume that.
Yeah.
In terms of building costs, you know, and cost of square per square foot, yeah, you can build them cheaper than that.
Yeah.
So again, they're taking their times to build them, so they're not actually rapid build. And in terms of modular housing, you could build them for bricks and mortar for the same cost.
And if we had, if we just started building these, I know you have to go through due process and all that, but if we'd done that and got on with it and we started building bricks and mortar homes, as you said,
yes,
when this initiative was announced before the election, we might remind people, we probably nearly have the homes now.
Well, one of the things, just we tend to be a little, not saying legitimate is the wrong word, but you know, planning tends to be quite contentious in Ireland. It takes, you know, by the time you come up with the idea to opening the front door, someone putting a key in, it's 2 years. So, you know, we should have started on this 2 years ago.
Right.
So if we start on it now, it'll be 2 years before we get around to building bricks and mortar. Are people moving into
people moving into the bricks and mortar? Yeah, look, I've no doubt we'll come back to this again,
indeed,
Ken, as another story, probably next week or the week after. I'm sure this will continue on, and we'll keep an eye on it. And I'm sure you'll remind me as well that of what's happening in that area. Moving on, so to just tell people about Family Day, which is Ireland's largest celebration of the diversity of families that make up modern Irish society. Family Day is inspired by the UN International Day of Families, which is held on 15th of May every year. And that was established by the General Assembly of the United Nations back as far as 1992. And it's going to be a day-long festival in Dublin's Wolfetone Square on Sunday, the 15th of May, here in Ireland, from 11 until 5. It's the sixth annual celebration. The programme will offer great entertainment, fun, games, activities, useful information for all types of families and for the young and old. And everybody's encouraged to go along there. Family Day is organised by One Family, and familyday.ie or onefamily.ie are the websites where you'll get more information, and it's supported by dublintown.ie, Dublin City Council as well, and others. And it sounds like a great day, and maybe a good day out, and one to mark, I suppose, the diversity of families that make up modern Irish society.